So for now, let's go to our scripture reading in the book of Galatians. And now we're going to move on to chapter 5. So let's go to chapter 5 in the book of Galatians. And this morning I am going to read verses 2 through 6. And again, I read out of an NASB translation Bible. I will have the words up here on the screen. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Great. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting in verse number 2. The word of God, as written by the Apostle Paul, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says this: Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. We'll stop there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, once again, we move on in this book of Galatians. And I pray, Lord, that these verses that we just read will penetrate our minds, penetrate our hearts, and reveal new truths to us here today. Things that we didn't know before that we will now learn here today. We give you the praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we're going to continue in our expository study of the book of Galatians. And this is message number 34. We're kind of winding down. We're two-thirds of the way through. We're in chapter 5. Boy, could you imagine if I did like a 28-chapter book? Would be here for a long time. This is message number 34, and I've titled today's message, Fallen from Grace. We have an issue going on within today's scripture text that is controversial in today's churches. It shouldn't be controversial, but it is. And it's found in verse number 4. So I'm going to put verse number 4 back up there again. And verse number 4 says this, and I have some words underlined. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. There will be many people in churches today who will read that verse and they will say, see, there it is. You were in Christ, past tense, you were in Christ, but now you've been severed. And you have fallen from grace. And they will conclude and say this, that person has lost their salvation. See, there it is, right there. You can lose your salvation. So the question I'm going to answer here this morning is this. Is this what this verse is teaching? Does it teach that any of the Galatians that fell into this category of seeking to be justified by the law, that they were once saved, but now are no longer saved, because now they are seeking to be justified by the law? Well, let's simplify that question and put it in today's terms. Can I lose my salvation? Can you lose your salvation? Can any believer lose his or her salvation? Can we fall from grace? And what exactly does that mean? Well, there's quite a bit of history and there's quite a bit of debate in this issue. So I'm going to give you a very, very brief history lesson here today. Let's put this up there. On the left side, we have those people who say you cannot lose your salvation. On the right side, those who say that you can. On the left side, You cannot lose your salvation is historical. It has always been the belief of the true church ever since the Bible was written that one cannot lose one's salvation all the way through. Although it was challenged in the early 400s by a man by the name of Pelagius. And Pelagius brought this teaching to the church and said, you can lose your salvation. And he brought other teachings along with that. Pelagius was termed and deemed a heretic and expelled out of the church. The church went on believing, as you can see, until the 1600s, where you have the Protestant Reformation. At the Protestant Reformation, you had a man by the name of John Calvin, who really dealt with this issue that a person, a true Christian, cannot lose his or her salvation. And that belief commonly today is known as Calvinism. You may hear some people that call themselves Calvinists. I am a Calvinist, so you know what side I am on. Over here on this other side, you have people who believe that a person can lose their salvation. But it's more modern, and it didn't start until the 1600s with a guy by the name of Jacobus Arminius, who was a Dutch Reformed theologian. And he said this, that a person can lose one's salvation. So he started this movement of saying that you can lose. So what we have here in the 1600s are two movements going in two different directions. One saying, the Calvinist saying, no, you cannot lose your salvation. In this other direction, the Arminian saying, oh yes, you can. These two movements are still very alive and well in churches today. So let's look at who's on what side. Now, this is generally speaking, okay? Generally speaking, on the I cannot lose my salvation side, will be the Baptist, will be the Presbyterians, and will be any church that considers itself Reformed, okay? You are sitting in a Reformed church because I teach Reformed theology. So again, you know what side that I am on. I will teach that you cannot lose your salvation. Over here on the you can lose your salvation side are the United Methodist Church. They will teach you that you can lose your salvation. Most, if not all, Pentecostal churches will teach that you can lose your salvation. And any church deemed to be a Wesleyan church, after the teachings of John Wesley. John and Charles Wesley, we know both of those two men as men who were, John was a very famous preacher, and Charles was a very famous hymn writer. I guarantee there are hymns in our hymnals that we sing today that are written by one of the Wesley brothers. But they decided to go down this route here, and they did teach that a person could lose one's salvation. So, We have two theology branches going on here. One down one side, and that you cannot lose your salvation, and another one over here that you can. There are popular teachings in these Arminian churches here today that a believer can lose his or her salvation many times, and they can get it back many times. I remember when I first started attending the Nazarene Church in Waynesboro, which is an Arminian church, that the pastor had an altar call. And this lady who appeared at that time to be like in her 50s, she went forward and she knelt at the altar and she had all these tears in her eyes. And when she came back, she said, and she made sure that she told everybody around them, that that was her 17th time going to the altar. So this woman, according to her own testimony, was saved and unsaved and saved and unsaved and go through that 17 times. There's even some teaching in churches today that a believer can lose his or her salvation, but only once. And once you lose it, then it is impossible to get it back. Well, there's another verse in the Bible, and we're going to go to Hebrews, and I'm going to put it up here. that very much the Arminians love this verse. And it's Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And it says this: "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame." Well, this sounds pretty good. A person has once been enlightened. They have tasted of the heavenly gift. And they have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. And they have tasted the good word of God. Aren't those characteristics of a true believer? Maybe the Arminians, maybe they got a good point going on here. Well, our decision in this matter really boils down to what you want to believe the scriptures are teaching. What theology do you buy into? And let me make it a little simple for you. Do you buy into a God-centered theology or a man-centered theology? Do you believe God is sovereign, or do you believe man is sovereign? Who really has the power? Is it the potter, or is it the clay? Are you relying on God to keep you, or are you relying on you to keep you? And if you answer those questions, it'll pretty much tell me which direction you want to take. But I can assure you that if you are relying on you to keep and maintain your salvation, you will lose it. I promise you. Just like that lady at the Nazarene church. At least 17 times, and maybe 17 times a day. What you believe in the assurance of your salvation goes hand in hand, I believe, with divine election. Once you believe that God has chosen you for salvation and not the other way around, then this choice of which side you're on is a very easy choice to make. But to ask if one can lose one's salvation, we are asking the wrong question. The question should not be, can a believer fall from grace and lose their salvation? That's the wrong question to ask. Here's the right question to ask. It's this: is that person truly saved? Now that's the right question, because that's the question the Bible is asking us. For those who believe that I can lose my salvation, or if I believed that, if I thought from one moment to the next that I could lose my salvation, could I truly be joyful? Could I lead a joyful life? Wouldn't it overshadow me of knowing, am I in good standings or not? Did I do something? Did I say something? Where am I right now? Well, I want to point out to you here this morning a verse that I just brought up, John 10:10. And Jesus says this, and these are the words of Jesus: "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And in this verse, you kind of really see both sides of that issue. The side where it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, well, if I had my salvation, obviously somebody stole it away from me. Or you can look at Jesus' side, and he says this: "I've come to give you life and give you life abundantly. I want you to have joy in your life." At least that's what I get out of this verse. Well, what do the scriptures tell us elsewhere about a believer keeping or losing one's salvation? And I'm going to present to you this morning some scripture verses, we're going to talk about them, that attest to the security of the believer and the assurance that we must have in the salvation that we have. Let's go to John chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. And we're going to look at this in two different ways. First, let me read this whole thing to you. The words of Jesus. And Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." So how does a person get saved? Well, the dead, the unsaved person is dead. We hear the voice of God, and it's just like Jesus telling Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." One day in April of 1994, Jesus gave a command to me and said, "Mike, come forth. You're one of mine." The dead, I heard the voice of the Lord. And it says this, those who hear will live. It's just like Lazarus coming out of the tomb. And if you're saved, you were in a tomb and you're out of that tomb now too. But that's one part of it. But I want to point out this other part. Same two verses. But Jesus says this, has eternal life. Not will have eternal life, has eternal life. Eternal life begins the moment that a person is born again by the Holy Spirit. The moment that you first believed. In the true believer's life, there is a moment of spiritual birth, and theologians call this rebirth, a regeneration. Remember, Jesus says in his conversation with Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Jesus says this, you have eternal life. He who believes in me has eternal life and does not commit a judgment. But to the Arminian, eternal life cannot possibly be eternal. Not if I can lose it. So to me, they make a mockery out of the words and the promises of Jesus. Well, folks, you cannot lose something that Jesus has promised to be eternal. Let's look at another verse. Again, the words of Jesus, John 6, 35 through 37. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." Remember, we covered this a few weeks ago in a message. The Father is giving a bride to his Son, and that bride is the church, the elect. And it says this, that all that the Father gives the Son, Christ will never cast out. Christ will never drive away, some Bible translations would say. But to the Arminian would say, well, yes, we can hunger again. And yes, we can thirst again. And Christ will lose some of those that the Father has given him. They make a mockery of the words of Jesus. Another verse. Again, the words of Jesus, John chapter 10, 27 through 29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." It's getting pretty obvious, isn't it? It's getting pretty obvious. Jesus gives the believer eternal life, and the believer shall never perish. And no one can snatch the believer out of the hands of Jesus or out of the hands of the Father. That's what it says. But to the Arminian, there must be some power greater than the Son, or some power greater than the Father, because they believe that a believer can be snatched out of his hand. They make a mockery of the words and the promises of Jesus. Let's move on to the epistles. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. You notice Paul was Southern, for you all. You saw that. Is he from Nelson County? And in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began a good work in a believer, and he says that he will see it through until when? Until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day that he takes us away, or until the day that he returns. Some Bibles use the word completion. I like either one of them. But he says that he will make sure that he will perfect us until the day of Christ Jesus. When I was an associate pastor at the Nazarene Church, which is an Arminian church, I asked the senior pastor what his favorite verse was. He said Philippians 1:6. And I said, how can you believe that's your favorite verse? You teach people that a person can lose their salvation. So answer this question for me, Mr. Senior Pastor. How can I lose my salvation? And he could not come up with an answer. Thought I'd throw that in. But to the Arminian, he who started a good work in us does not have the power to see it through. Christ loses to some other force out there that has more power than he does. Another verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Three things I like to point out about these verses here. Number one, his mercy has saved us and caused us to be born again. Number two, our inheritance, which is guaranteed, by the way, by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Our inheritance, our salvation, says this: it is imperishable, it is undefiled, and it will never fade away. And number three, our inheritance is shielded by God's power, by faith which has been gifted to us. Where did we get the faith? It's this, very simple. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. We are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It is a what? A gift from God. What's the gift? The grace is a gift. The faith is a gift. So it's shielded by God's power through the faith that he has given us. But to the Arminian, our salvation must be perishable. It must be defiled, and it must be able to fade away. And once again, it doesn't look like God's power can keep us. One last verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and then 38 and 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? And again, he's talking to believers. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see in these verses here that the Apostle Paul gives us a laundry list of things that could potentially separate the believer from the love of God through Jesus Christ. And it's a very comprehensive list. And he concludes by pretty much saying this: nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But to the Arminian, because I have heard this, they will say, he didn't list Satan. He didn't list the devil. Yes, he did. Didn't he? Principalities. Thank you. And where else? Any other what? Created thing. Satan is a created being. Amen. All the angels are created beings, the good ones and the bad ones. He's a created being. So that argument falls flat on its face. So we can see that nothing is going to separate us. So I just presented to you seven different scripture texts that give the believer the assurance of our salvation. The believer, we cannot fall from grace. Well then, Mike, what does Paul mean when he says that been severed from Christ and you have fallen from grace? Well, this demands an explanation, and I'm about to give you one. Let's go back to Hebrews, that verse that the Arminians totally love, so do the Calvinists. And let me explain. Four things there. It says that we have been enlightened, taste of the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Spirit, taste of the good word. When the writer of Hebrews writes this, he's referring to people called apostates. I've used that word before. I've used the word apostasy. It's a fallen away. And today, in today's terms, the apostates would be this. There are people, week after week after week, who sit in churches, who have been enlightened. They've been enlightened by the gospel message. They have heard about the free gift of salvation. They have seen the work of the Holy Spirit. And they have been fed the Word of God. But yet have not come to a saving relationship in Jesus Christ. These people, they are like Judas. And we all know about Judas. And Judas walked with Jesus for over 3 years. And he still had a heart of stone because people like Judas are after something other than Jesus. They're either after the byproducts of Jesus, all the health, wealth, prosperity, or they feel like I can do it myself. I can work my way there. But these people are apostates. They are people who profess a faith, but they never possess a faith. They are the people in Matthew chapter 7 verse 23 who claim to, I've done this in the name of Jesus and I've done this in the name of Jesus and Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And Jesus says this, depart from me. I never, what? Never knew you. I never knew you. So who needs to know whom? And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. So let's ask the right question. Not can a person lose their salvation. Let's ask the right question. And the right question is the person saved? And Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. Now that's the right question to ask. And that's the right challenge that we need to be given ourselves every day. Not did we lose our salvation. Not have we fallen from grace. The question is this. Am I saved? Or not? And only you can answer that question. About yourself. So, how can a person spot a true believer? One of the best verses in the Bible is this one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. The Apostle John writes this. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us so that it would be shown that they are not of us. Jesus says this, Those who are his will persevere to the end. In Christianity, it's really not how you start the race, although that's important. Not how you run the race, although that's important. It's how you finish the race. That's what's important. And folks, we have a major problem in churches today. And that problem is that these churches are teaching some really bad theology. They continue to teach a man-centered theology where man's power and man's choice trumps God's power and God's sovereignty. Trust me, this teaching, this Arminian teaching, promotes condemnation instead of conviction. It promotes guilt instead of victory. It promotes doubt instead of joy. And that doesn't sound like abundant life to me. Condemnation, guilt, doubt. There's no joy there, folks. No joy there. If I believe like the Arminians, how do I know from 1 minute to the next if I have my salvation or not? Because if you're anything like me, there is the possibility, and in my case, a strong possibility, you're going to think or you're going to say or you're going to do something that's pretty stupid and against the Word of God. Gee, did I lose my salvation because I thought that? Or did I lose my salvation because I said that? Did I lose my salvation because I did that? And what do I need to do or not do to lose it? Or what do I need to do or not do to keep it? Will someone please give me that list of the do's and don'ts so I know that I'm okay or not? Folks, there is no list. If you're a true believer, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Period. That's it. You can't lose it. Let's not ask the wrong question. Can I lose my salvation? No, you cannot lose your salvation. The question you need to ask is, do you have salvation? That's the question to ask. Rest assured, Beech Grove, God has you in his protective hands. You think Allstate's got you? Wait, God's got you. He's got you in his protective hands. And no one or nothing can ever snatch you away. Praise God. Let's pray.